Business Brain, episode 563 for Wednesday, July 3rd, National Independent Beer Run Day and National Fried Clam Day. These are two tastes that go great together. 2024. Welcome to Business Brain, the show where we take an idea or six, we crunch them, we dissect them, we use them to tune our business brains every single week, actually every single episode, sometimes often twice a week when we get together. Yeah. Our sponsor for this week is fastmail.com/businessbrain. That's where you can go, try it free for 30 days, and then because you used our link, you save 10% off your first year of my favorite email service, the one I actually use and pay for. I'll talk more about that in a little bit. For now, here in Durham, New Hampshire, I'm Dave Hamilton.
And in blistering hot Northern California, I'm Shannon Jean.
Yeah, you're How's having the going? Hot weather we had a couple of weeks ago. I mean, not Gosh, the same yeah. hot weather, but
yeah. Yeah, yeah. yeah, it's a little different. The rest of the week, supposed to be crazy, you know, but we'll deal with it. Stay by the pool.
Yeah, you'll be all right.
It'll be good. Yeah, yeah, I'm all for this beer, National Beer Day. I don't know about the clams. I'm a fish. I like clams like for bait, but I'm not a clam eater.
That's because you don't live in New England.
Probably.
I think.
I'm sure they'd be different. I would have grown up with them, maybe.
You would have grown up with them. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, clams are absolutely a thing.
It's just
here.
Like, I like oysters, but I like them when they're cooked.
Yeah, well, this is fried clam day. If you've never had
fried clam,
especially
fried
belly clams, like
I don't know what that is.
That's the clams. So you either get clams.
Kind of clam?
Well, I mean, kind of, but not really. Okay. It's either you're either getting just the clam strip or you're getting the whole clam with the belly on it. On it too. Some people don't like the belly because it's a little squishy or whatever. But the belly clams, that's the whole clams. That's where
it's fried. Yeah. Fried. I like most fried things.
Right.
You know,
you got fried clams and beer. Like it's a good
that,
day.
I don't. That's a good day.
You'd probably
that's
be all right. You know what? Have a beer, then get a second beer with your order of fried clams. You're going to be all right.
Yeah. I'm sure I'll be okay. Hey, before we get into our topic.
I thought we were there.
Yeah. No, it's not a beer and clam show. Although I wouldn't mind it. So I'm building this new website, or having somebody build a new website for me. Time to upgrade and all this kind of stuff. And so, hey, you know, we need a headshot. And on the, oh man, you know, I don't. It's like, okay, take one with my phone. Or like, that's not good enough. We want something that looks better. So I'm like, okay, I look around. It's like, well, if I go to the photographer and do the whole thing, it's. I don't mind. You know, maybe about $200 to have a bunch of shots done. Like, I don't mind that at all and everything. But I was like, there's got to be a better way. Got to be a way to save some time.
Yeah. Right? How has the headshot thing evolved in the last? How has technology helped us get good headshots?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, so I do some research, and the one I come up with is the headshotpro.com, I think is what it is. Let me check. And headshotpro.
Okay.
.com. And so I'm going to share. So it was kind of cool. I'll tell you the process. You do take some selfies, or you can upload existing photos of yourself, and they take a few hours. So there's different versions. I paid the $39, I paid $29, and I thought I'm going to try it because they have this. Hey, if you haven't done it, they've done 13 million of them. It's crazy. You can pick. You're like, here's what I want. Like, I don't want to be in a suit because I don't wear suits, right?
Yeah, that would be off-brand for you, right?
Be off-brand for me. So I'm a polo shirt guy, whatever, shorts, t-shirt. But I wanted something that looked a little cleaner. So I uploaded, like, they want, like, 14 selfies, you know, do all around your face, and then they tell you whether they're good. It's a pretty good process. And you can do it on the web, or you can do it on your phone, whatever it is. So I'm going to... I got back like 50 pictures, right?
What? Oh, they got for $39, you get 100
That's what I
headshots.
Did. Yeah. I got 100 headshots. Ooh. And some of them, I don't know who they were, right?
Sure.
They didn't look anything like me. But enough of them did. And I was like, wow, man, that's pretty good. So the cool part about it is you get to edit. Oh. You open it up and you say, okay, well, I like this face, but I would not wear that shirt, or I want a different background. And they just go, okay, change. So you can change your outfit. You can change the background. You can do all this kind of stuff. And it doesn't do it instantly. Like every change, you pick like 10 of your favorite. And then if you want to tweak it and change it, like I found one I like the best, which I'm going to share here with you in a minute and see get your take on it.
Okay.
Matter of fact, I'm going to, can you share it if I put it in Slack with our audience here?
Yes, or? I can. Yeah. If, okay, if somebody's great. Watching, okay, so, but also yeah. like yeah, you'll it, make it part of the, make it part of the episode image today too.
Yeah, I'll put it
because most of our audience is not watching live.
Yeah, if you or I'll put it in the show. I'll put it in the show notes at businessbrain.show. Right. Thank you. That's
but go ahead and put it in Slack while we're talking here.
I put it in Slack. It's up there now. It's in the random channel that we have. So yeah. But I thought they did a pretty decent job with this one. So what I did was I saved like 10 of them and I shared them with my wife and I was like, okay, so. Do you think this one looks like me? And she was like, no, no way. That's not you. Oh, yes, that's you. This, that, and the other. And then you can kind of tweak it. You can change the face. You can change the angle. You can change your look. It's, I thought it was pretty cool. And I am going to use, I'm going to use this a headshot on my website. You see it in there? See it in Slack?
I see it. I'm trying to like figure out a way to like drag it into.
Oh, here. Safari maybe I here. Can just hold it up to the camera.
I got it. Yeah. I'll do it the easy way. What I will say in looking at this, so
it looks
here it is.
Like AI.
It looks. You're not going to like what I'm about to say, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Okay. It looks way better than I actually am.
No, it makes you look older.
It does make me look older. I agree with you. I do look a little older.
And but, I don't know why that is.
Well, my hair isn't quite that gray.
Now, it's something about it's your teeth. I don't know why your teeth
that's interesting.
Look different than your teeth. And it makes it look like you finally
like
punted.
I've had dental work done and have implants.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought my teeth looked a little bit too. Yeah. But I thought it was an interesting experiment.
Yeah.
And for what I'm going to use it for, you know, for my coaching website, it's only just one small picture.
Plus, maybe making you look a little older, a little more seasoned
maybe
for
that's
a coaching
okay.
website.
Yeah. Maybe that's okay. But I thought it was kind of interesting, and I would recommend it. It was quick. It only took a couple hours.
Yeah.
And I'm still tweaking because you can go up and do up to 14 edits after you get them. And, you know, I think that it'll get better and better. Now, I deal with AI imagery every single day for this show and my social media stuff. So I look at it and go, yeah, I can tell that's a little AI. But for someone that's just scrolling through or doing a quick, I don't think they'll notice it.
No, it looks like you. Like, that's pretty good.
It looks maybe a little more presidential. You never know. That's what somebody told me. They're like, it looks like you're running for office. I'm like, well, I'm not, but you know. But anyway, headshotspro.com. Check it out. Let me know what you think.
All right, folks. Have you ever felt like your inbox is plotting against you? Fear not, for I have the ultimate solution. Our sponsor, Fastmail. Imagine an email service so smooth, it's like having a personal assistant made of clouds and unicorns. Yep, that's Fastmail. I've been using Fastmail for over 5 years now, both for my work and personal emails. And let me tell you, it's a game changer. Fastmail is an independent, employee-owned email provider that's been rocking the email world for over 20 years. No ads, no creepy data sharing, just pure, unadulterated email bliss. For as little as $5 a month, you get a private inbox that's cleaner than your grandma's kitchen. Got a partner? Great. Fastmail's Duo plan is perfect for you two lovebirds. Need to manage the whole family's emails? The family plan handles up to 6 people. And the business plan offers powerful admin controls for your empire. Fastmail lets you customize your workflow with colors, custom swipes, night mode, and more. They've got productivity features like scheduled send, snooze, and a search bar so powerful it might as well have a PhD. Switching to Fastmail is a breeze. Just download your data and import it, and you're good to go. For my Gmail, it actually slurped it right in across from the Gmail directly. Plus, their human support team is available 24/7 to help you out of any pickle. So, if you want to tame your inbox and live a charmed email life, you're going to want to make email better for you with Fastmail. Try Fastmail free for 30 days and get 10% off your first year at fastmail.com/businessbrain. Again, that's fastmail.com/businessbrain. And our thanks to Fastmail for sponsoring this week's episode. Shannon, I've had a couple conversations lately with friends who are in, you know, various stages of their business and all that stuff.
Okay.
And one of them, actually several of them, when I asked, okay, well, you know, like this business that you have, what is your long-term plan with this? Like,
sure.
Is it just to be a cash cow, or is it to, you know, grow it and sell it off, or, you know, do something else with it? Because it could be anything, or it could be, well, I'm using, you know, I'm going to build up business A to make a name for myself so I can do business B. Like, that's also totally valid, right? So I asked this question, and I've had now two people in the last 2 weeks sort of hesitate and say, ah, you know, I hate this term, but it's a lifestyle business. Almost ashamed.
Love it.
And I'm like, whoa.
It's got a bad rap.
Why does it? Lifestyle business. Let me say it here. Lifestyle businesses are okay. You get to.
They're awesome.
They're awesome. Now, it's interesting because what a lifestyle business is, or what makes a good lifestyle business for you, is not what a lot of people think. People say, oh, if you do what you love, you know, then it doesn't feel like work. And I love that. That's true. But sometimes it's not what your business does. It's what you do in it. For example, sure. I just interviewed this woman, Laura Supan, on Gig Gab, my podcast for musicians. She is a booking agent. She's also a musician. But she found that she really enjoyed all of the things that went into being a booking agent. And the one of the things that doesn't go into being a booking agent is putting butts in the seats. That's up to the artist to do.
Oh,
right. The booking agent does the logistics and spends time in spreadsheets and calendars and becomes a you know, logistics, like route mapping person, and remembers the right clubs in the right markets and all those things. But the one thing they don't do is put butts in seats. That's up to the artist. And in her career, that was something she always struggled with, was like putting butts in the seats. But she liked the rest of it, and she found she could stay music industry related, or stay in the industry and do all of these things. Now, booking the gigs is what a booking agent, that's the service a booking agent provides for someone else. But what a booking agent does all day is more than that, right? It's the spreadsheets. It's figuring out what clubs are right for this, you know, any given, you know, she's got like 14 bands on her roster, which she says is too much. So FYI, if you're going to be a booking agent, bear that in mind.
Yeah.
Yep. But, you know, she's like, I love spreadsheets. I know that's weird. I'm like, it's not weird to me. I love them too.
Yeah, I like them too. Does she, does the booking agent get a percentage?
Correct.
Or is it
it's commission
flat?
Based.
So is it a commission on how many butts get in the seats, or...
It is, but she won't take a band. She has all, if you folks listening to this will probably love this episode. It comes out on Monday the 8th. It'll be at giggabpodcast.com. And she talks about all of this. So
that's
she,
cool.
Yeah, there's a minimum level, several,
that you'll be interested in. Yeah.
Several minimums that you kind of need to have already hit on your own for it to make sense for you to give some of your money to her.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
Right. You know,
yep.
And also for it to be worth her while too, of course. But yeah, it's and so as she was explaining this, I'm like, okay, so you found a lifestyle business. She's like, oh, absolutely. I'm like, you could sell it. Like if she delegates all of her jobs out and has a healthy roster of bands, like that's something you could easily sell to somebody. If you just show profit, you're good to go. But that's not her current plan. Her current plan is to do it because she loves all the little things that
that's
she
cool.
does.
But yeah. But it's a lifestyle business, right?
But like as she was describing it, I was like, yes, this is a lifestyle business. But she stumbled on the key that a lot of people miss, which is you need to enjoy what the work is going to be, not what the end result. I mean, hopefully
you're going to work your ass off, so you might as well.
Right.
To be successful. Yeah.
Correct. You're going to work your butt off. So, make sure you understand the little things that you're going to do. And then, of course, you can, and she does, she has an assistant and all these other things. And so, you know, the lessons that we talk about here, where you build your org chart, you put your name in every box, and then you find the box that you don't like the fact that your name's in it because you don't like doing that job. And that's the first person you hire, right? You know, like,
yep.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
But enjoy the actual work, the day-to-day, the grunt grind work that has to be done. That's the stuff that I think is most important to enjoy.
Yeah, I always use this phrase, you know, fall in love with problem solving, right? If you can fall in love with problem solving, man, you're unstoppable, because there's nothing to complain about. That's business. No problems, no business. So you're solving problems for your customer, you're solving problems for your employees that need work, and they're exchanging, you know, their expertise and time to get paid, and you're solving, you know, even your own problems. So if you think about that, and I love lifestyle businesses. I've ran them all our life. I would consider this podcast a lifestyle business.
Correct.
You know, does it make a huge amount of money? No. But do we make a little bit of money that gives us some kind of reward where you're like, oh, cool, I can go buy this, or I can do some fun thing at the end of the quarter? Awesome.
Yep.
And, you know, my twist on the lifestyle business is that I'm super restless and I get bored, and if I stick with one thing, I often destroy it because I get bored. And
I'm laughing because I'm the same way. Yeah.
Right. Yep. So what I have done is I have lifestyle businesses, but I stack them.
Yeah.
So I get going with something that I like. And I mean, I got into the Mac and Apple because I wanted to be involved in that technology and have that lifestyle. But once I was kind of out of my realm, it's like, okay, what's the next thing? Because I've figured that out. And then the next thing and the next thing. So you can have a whole stack or a stable or whatever analogy you want to use of these small lifestyle businesses. And like, to your point, another thing that drives me nuts is when they say, well, that business will never scale. Well, maybe it doesn't have to.
And that's okay. If it's meant to support one or two or three lifestyles, whatever it is, lifestyles.
I know some very wealthy people that own businesses that, quote, don't scale or that are not heading towards an exit.
Right.
You know, one of the great exercises is to talk to somebody who sells businesses, because they'll very quickly rip your business apart and tell you why it's worth nothing. You know, and you have to really kind of guard against that. And the first couple of times I did it, where you build up this thing that you're really proud of and it's provided for you and your family, but from an outside perspective, you may get somebody to come in and say, well,
nobody wants it but you. You're the one.
You created yourself a job. And it's like, well, yeah.
Yeah.
You don't think anybody else would want this job or to hire somebody to do this job? It's still generating all kinds of money.
Yeah.
And, you know, okay. So when I started to hit those or have those conversations with people that were basically telling me that I wasn't successful because I was just building lifestyle businesses, I was like, okay, whatever. I'm just going to go build another one and another one and another one. And I've had a great time. And
it really is fun. Yeah. I've done the same thing.
Yeah.
Like,
it is fun.
It's fun having one lifestyle business. It's even more fun, like you said, stacking them and having three or four going at a time. Yeah.
Right. Because your lifestyle makes less demands on when you have more of them.
Yes.
Because, you know, business is all up and down, this kind of thing. So you can, as things ebb and flow, you get to take, well, when things are really good with business X, you can pull out money from that or put more time into that if that's what you're doing.
If that's what you want. Yeah.
If that's what you want. Or if business slows down for, you know, revenue slows for business X, you go, that's okay. I'm going to invest more in this to grow that part of it. It gives you a lot of flexibility.
Tons.
You're not reliant on one revenue source.
I always say if you have one client, if you have one job, if you have one business line, because I know some businesses basically stack internally, right? It's one structure and they do a lot of different things or whatever. But if you have one line of business, one job, one customer, inevitably, no matter how many you have, inevitably, at least one of those is going to fire you. The money's going to stop flowing in a positive way from at least one. And if you only have one, well,
you're in trouble.
There you go. So have more than one.
Yeah, it's the same concept of having 1,000 bosses instead of one.
Exactly.
You know, it's far riskier to have one client one boss that issues you a check every 2 weeks that you think is safe because you've been taught that and, you know, programmed by society to believe that, but that's a whole nother show. But
no, versus, I think that's the 9.5 years of this show, Shannon.
Yeah, that's right. You're right. And it's going out and starting different revenue streams, whether it's like, oh, I'm going to start a business. I sell some stuff on eBay. Oh, we're going to publish a couple of books. And then, oh, we're going to start another business that does this and maybe do some consulting. And then we're going to start that. That's awesome because you're building over and over and over. And, you know, now when I look back, and I know, Dave, you're the same way, when you say, oh, yeah, I've started 10 companies, and people are like, what? It's like, well, I didn't start out that way.
No, and I also didn't start 10 companies that each are doing $50 million a year in business.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
It's okay for a business to do $10,000 a year in business. As long as...
Depends on what you want.
Right. As long as it fits what you want from that business. That's all. That's the only metric that matters. Or at least the first one that matters.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I often have, and I think we've said it here too, small amounts of money can dramatically change your life.
Yeah.
$1,000 a month. You know, it's not sexy. We're not, you know, millionaire, first million, whatever. That's great. And I'm all for that.
Same.
And I love that. But, you know, if you can figure out how to make an extra $1,000 a month, that's a huge...
Ask anybody on the street, anyone, would you like an extra $1,000 a month? Yes.
Yep.
The answer will always be yes. And it won't just be, I guess.
Maybe.
It like they already know what difference that's going to make in their lives. And you know it too if you're listening to this.
Like, that's right. And once you... The power lies in once you understand how to make that thousand... It changes your whole framework and you start to understand that reality is truly flexible.
Yep.
And that you can push against it to build whatever you want. And so maybe you build, you know, companies that kick you out $1,000 a month, but then all of a sudden you're going to build one that kicks you $10,000 a month.
That's right.
And $20,000 a month. It happens.
It won't be the one you think.
No.
It never is. It's a but lovely it's not surprise.
But it's not going to happen if you don't get out there and build that first lifestyle business, lifestyle side hustle, selling Legos on Amazon, flipping stuff on Facebook Marketplace, whatever it is that other people may poo-poo and say, well, that's a waste of your time.
It's not going to make enough money.
Enough money to make it worthwhile. Well, that's for you to find out.
Yeah.
And once you get that, it energizes you and helps you build a great foundation, and something I want to talk about on our next episode is it starts to build confidence, and that's crucial for your long-term success. And I want to dig in more of that on our next episode on Friday.
Amazing. Love it. Yeah. Make sure you come back Friday, folks. But let us know what you think about this. I know there's a lot of people that don't. I think it's a lack of understanding of what the lifestyle business is and can be. And let us know if we got it wrong too. Feedback at businessbrain.show, and then if we got it right, or even if we got it wrong, share it out there. Tell people about it. Like this episode is your tool to educate people.
Use it
that way. Yeah. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks for everything you do. All your feedback that comes in when you share the show, it means so much to us. Check out our sponsor, fastmail.com/businessbrain. Keep living that charmed life, and we'll see you on Friday.